Well, it's a blessing to be here. Anybody know what happened 75 years ago, this date, the 14th?
Israel was born in the day.
Isn't that something? 75 years ago, today, we have Israel become a nation, the Republic of Israel. Can you think of everything that's taking place? We just got, like Dr. Brown said, just keep looking up and listening for that shout. Any day, he's coming back. So I think the question, are you ready? I was concerned about your prayer request, Brother Pat, because I was reading that and listening to that, and food bank's having a problem, so you're praying that the cancer would get out. And if you got food that got cancer in it, then you get it out. Then I saw, we're not praying for food or cancer, we're praying for John that has cancer. Okay, so I figured that one out there after I saw that a little bit. Tell you what, to make this service go just greater than great, my wife don't know this, but I'm going to have her to come and sing for us, because if I bomb it, I know you're not going to bomb her, okay? So, honey, bring your music, and I'll hold this microphone, so Braden, I'll just grab that and I'll hold it for her, okay? So I can do that because I'm in charge right now, okay? I'm only in charge sometimes, but this is the time I'm in charge. She loves me for doing this.
Is it on? Okay. Let's see. There are trophies to be won, successes there to claim. Some would give their very soul to reach Earth's highest plane. But I accounted gain would be my loss if I laid down commitment's cross. So I lift my eyes to things above, serving with a heart of love. I just want to please the Lord, be in His will in every way. My plans have all been made, sin's die already cast. The world was at my fingertips, I had arrived at last. But the cry could not be pacified from a heart about to break inside. Then Jesus showed Himself to me and said, just look what you could be. I just want to please the Lord, be in His will in every way, to be lost in His presence, found in His likeness, to hear Him say, well done, someday. I will bring my offering and lay it at His feet. All I was, all I am, all I ever want to be. I just want to please the Lord, be in His will in every way. Found in His likeness, to hear Him say, well done, someday. To hear Him say, well done, someday.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much. That was great. Well, it is a blessing to be here. Maybe some of you might not know, but as our church decided to plant a church here in Centralia, it started with the Don and Darlene LaPlante. They were coming to our church, and they were needing a church out here. And so at that time, we had just been about maybe 3 years old, so it took us about 4 years before, you know, a preacher stuck and took it off. But we met at the Grange down there, and Brother Don would be the one to come and get the fire going. And it got going so much that smoke came in. As people came in, they went out really quick because the smoke during those winter times. And what a blessing to watch people come. We came down Saturdays. We door knocked. We probably hit this whole area two or three times, Centralia and Chehalis. And then we had some people that showed up, and so we had service on Tuesday evening. And then our people would come up Tuesday evening, and then we'd go door knocking again on Saturday. And I cannot believe it, but we did that for over 4.5 years, just like that. And then the Lord moved us different places. And one of the places after we met at the Grange, this place, the Kirkendoss place, the dentist place, came available for us to rent. And so we were able to rent it. And during that time, they had a house right here. And so one of the people from our church, they came and they moved in that house. I don't know why they wanted to live in that house, but Brother Kirkendall, not brother, but Kirkendall was able to allow them to come down here, and him and his wife, and I think they had one little girl, so they lived in the house and started to work the church again. And so then we started to meet on Sunday afternoons instead of Tuesdays. Tuesdays, then Sunday afternoon. And then he wanted to sell this place. He wanted, I think it was $550,000 for this at that time, and there's no way we had any money to do that. And so we had to move. So we moved, went to the motel down here. And then we were there at the motel for quite some time. Our church would come Sunday afternoon and then door knock Saturdays, and still had church on Tuesday at the motel. And during that time, our church was able to purchase the other dentist place just down the road here on Gold Street. So our church purchased that, and we were able to meet there, do some remodeling and such. And what a blessing. Growth again, once again came, and that's when your pastor said it's time to come. And so I tried to get him for 3 years before that, but he kept ignoring the word of God and God's voice. And I knew it was him to start with, but we just had to wait for his timing. Pastor Tim Schellenberger and our daughter came, and it was there that the church grew. But this is, I think you came back here at this place and you bought this thing for, I think, $150,000 or probably less or something. But after that was paid off as much, you were able to take that money and come here. So it's just a blessing to see how Pastor Tim was able to work with your pastor. I think Brother Andrew is here for 5 years or so, maybe a year and a half now, as the pastor now, 13 years. But you don't understand the beginnings of those 13 years until you get some pictures and look at some folks and some things that Olympia Bible Baptist Church had gone through. Many of those people that was with us, like the LaPlantes, they're in heaven today. I think of George and Charlene. They came with us every Saturday, every Tuesday. Another couple came with us, an elderly couple, every Tuesday, every Saturday, door knocking. They're in heaven today. And so what a blessing it is to see a church established, and you folks are here, and we have church tonight. And what a blessing to have Brother Brown. Brother Saffles was Brother Brown's teacher back there, and Brother Brown, we worked for 12 years there at Yakima Bible Baptist Church, so he's a very dear friend of mine. And then you had Brother Humbert. And Brother Humbert, when we started, I didn't never met him, but at Church Planters Conference in Heartland Baptist Bible College, I gave out my need, and then he called me, and he said, "Preacher, we want to support you for $700 a month," and so he supported us for $700 a month, and we became very close friends, him and our families and such, and so what a blessing. So there's some connections there. Again, thanks also. I represent Heartland Baptist Bible College, and we just had a May offering. And the goal for this year was $1,250,000. Now, usually it's about $600,000, but a lot of that money this year was to pay off the debt so we'd be debt-free. Some of that money, too, takes care of monthly tuition for students, because school at Heartland is only $3,000 a semester. If it was not for churches that supported it, it'd be $6,000. So our kids that go there, they get to go for half price. And so here's what was raised during that week that we were there, just last week. It was getting pretty close to $1,250,000. They were short $3,000. And so Pastor Sam, he's the one that actually was the president and the pastor, he stood up, "I'll take care of the $3,000. And so they made their goal of 250,000, but it has increased now, and I think it's gone over to about 1,350,000. So what a blessing. Your church had a support in that, and you do that out of your faith promise missions. And so I say thank you so much. Your giving church, I just see, known many of you in the past, have some family members here. Hope they're good to you guys here. Hope you're good to them or whatever, Pat and Barb and Tammy and all that kind of stuff. So they've just been a joy to watch grow and to see just part of the church here. All right, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to tie this in for the whole week that we're going to do, because we're going to look at 1 Samuel and talk about Hannah. Here's a mother that prayed that she would have a man-child. And the only reason she did so is because it wasn't getting very good. Israel was not going very good. And so she said this, "Lord, if you give me a child, I'm going to give him back to you, because there's going to be a generation that's not going to know the Lord." Today, can I tell you, there's generations after generations that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ at all. And so I thought it'd be good tonight that we just start to see how mothers are very important. Basically, without moms, we would not be here, none of us. Moms are very important. And so when you look at this passage of Scripture, not only Paul is telling Timothy, the remembrance here, that you had a mama that was kept you on path. You had a grandmother that kept you on path. And so it's one of these things that, man, thank the Lord for mothers that have faith. If you can stand with me, and let's read 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll read verses 3 through 5, the three verses here. "I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my father's night and day, my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." I wonder tonight, are we carrying out some of the biblical principles that our parents have taught us? Did they get them from their parents? There's kind of a lack of generations today because nobody's following what was taught to them, but the Word of God needs to continue to be passed on. Somewhere there's a breakup, there's something that's happening, but I want to encourage you tonight, if that's happening in your generation, pick it back up, and let's keep that generation. We don't know how much longer we have here, but if we're going to be around here, we need to continue to pass that to the next generation and to the next generation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the faith of our moms, Lord. Thank you for the faith of the mothers that are here tonight. And so, Lord, as we start this anniversary revival, help us to go back, and we thank you for the beginning days, though those are great days. But, Lord, today is the day, Lord, that we have people that are gathered here. Lord, there's still souls that need to be saved. There's still lives that need to be committed back together. There's still lives that need to listen to their pastor and their pastor's wife and the Word of God put into place in their life, that we can continue to have a generation that can even last here in this church, at Centralia Bible Baptist Church, Lord, that it can go on to another generation. So, Lord, speak to our hearts tonight about this faith, and, Lord, help us to continue to grow. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It was Albert Taylor. He made this statement. 1% of every child time is spent under the influence of Sunday school, just 1%. Now, 9% or 7% is under the influence of a school system. Now, understand public school, but if you're parenting your own kids, that is going to change because you're parenting them at home. But you get 92%. The child has an influence right at home. 92%, all the children, their influences at home. A preacher said this: there is no more influential role on earth than a mother's role. And as we're going to look at Hannah, what a blessing to see how Hannah was willing to stand up and, Lord, there's a generation that's not doing so well. And I'm willing, Lord, that if you give me a child, I'm going to give him back to you so a generation can hear about what was taught to me. This is what Abraham Lincoln said. He said, there is no, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And so we know, and I know, that moms play a big, important part in our lives. I think it was just last month, we had a guest preacher preach, and by no means our kids are perfect. No means at all. Matter of fact, we have a couple of our children. They're just not doing what we think that should be doing. But I remember Cynthia and I coming to the altar and praying, Lord, just make us and mold us that we can be the right kind of example, that our kids can see us, that they'll say, hey, they're trusting in Jesus Christ alone, Lord, that they're genuine. And not only that, but they're going to pass that on to the next generation. And I just pray that God would help us to see that. And I know many of you probably have some children that's not doing what they ought to be doing, or maybe some different directions or this and that. But I just pray that God would allow us here, that we would follow the influence of a mother that we've had in our life, that we will carry it on to the next generation. And so there's three truths tonight that I want to start us off with, that Eunice and Lois, they taught Timothy. And remember, this is the Apostle Paul that's telling Timothy, man, I remember, I see these things that you've had in your life, how you followed your mom, and your mom followed her mom. And now Paul says, man, that is so great. And I just pray that would be in my life, that people would say to me, thank you for following your mom as my mom followed her mom, and just see the remembrance of what God has done in and through our lives. And there's three things here, and this is the faith that I believe moms ought to have. This is a faith that we remember that Eunice and Lois had. Is first of all, it was a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Nothing else but Jesus Christ. How we add a lot of things in that, but we must have the faith of just Jesus Christ alone. And then there was a faith there that they were genuine. There's no hypocrisy. It's not, hey, I'm this way in church, and I get out in my car, and I'm something else. You know, there's a lot of secretive things that's going on today. You can have people, they look great in church, but now you get out in their homes and on the highways, they just turn to be, they're like different types of people. Schizophrenic or bipolar or whatever. They're just like two different people, sometimes three different people, sometimes four different people that are out there. No, be genuine. And then the third faith is, let's take that faith and let's pass it on to the next generation. And so these are the three things that we want to look at. Look at with me first, the faith about Lord Jesus Christ alone. Our context is very clear. It's speaking about their faith that they had in Jesus Christ. How many of you are saved tonight? Say amen. You remember where you were saved and what happened that you were brought to that salvation. Boy, it's a blessing when people come to know Jesus Christ. We had a great blessing Saturday. Of course, we go door knocking, and my mother was able to invite a man to church. He said that he's going to come, and Stacy's his name, and so he came this morning. He showed up. He's probably in his 50s or so, and he's just searching for truth. And so as the invitation was given, Stacy, he walked the aisle, and he just said, I've never been saved before. I never heard the message before, and I want to accept Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. So right there, it took about 5 minutes, and I was able to lead Stacy to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ that will save, nothing else but Jesus Christ alone. Look with me at verse number 2 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace. Now remember, Paul is talking to Timothy now about the remembrance about how Timothy was following his mother and his grandmother. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, and Christ our Lord. Go over to verse number 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Drop down to verse number 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Drop over to chapter number 3 and look at verses 14 and 15. Here in verse number 14, But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So moms, if you teach your children to have faith in any other thing than Jesus Christ, there will be a dead end. It will stop. And I believe tonight that we can learn from Timothy, which he learned from his mom and the grandmother, that there's only faith in Jesus Christ alone that will work. Faith in self, it's dead end. Faith in others, it's dead end. Faith in religion, it's dead end. Faith in education, it's dead end. Faith in success, it's dead end. Faith in materialism, it's dead end. Faith in family, it's dead end. Faith in being a good person, it's just a dead end. Faith in business or work, it's a dead end. Faith in church, it's a dead end. Faith in money, it's a dead end. Listen, only your faith in Jesus Christ only alone will matter, and it will not be a dead end. How many times we add things to that thing, and we find out it does become a dead end. When we've heard it preached, and we've heard our mothers talk about it, our grandmothers talk about it, and it's simply a dead end. Lives are being ruined because they want to search and work their own faith out when there's only one faith that will work, and it is in Jesus Christ alone. You know, Paul tells Timothy here in verse number 5, he uses these words, when I call to remembrance. He remembers seeing Timothy do what his mom said. Isn't it great when our children obey us? Hallelujah when that happens. It's a blessing. So he remembered to see that here's Timothy following his mom and grandmother. Timothy's had genuine faith, faith in Jesus Christ alone. And it says, it first dwelt first in his grandmother Lois. And then it went down to Eunice, his mother. So Timothy, he followed the influence of his mother, who had followed the influence of her mother, and they both had placed their faith in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. Can I tell you today, there's nothing more important than trusting in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Now, I don't know all of you tonight, but I probably tonight know most of you, and I would say that majority of you, probably all of you except for children maybe, you placed your faith in Jesus Christ alone. And what a blessing it was that day when I placed my faith in Jesus Christ alone, and that day that you placed your faith in Jesus Christ alone also. Now, the other step that we see, Father, it was genuine. This faith was not only placed in Jesus Christ alone, but it was real. You could tell it. He could see his mama. She's real. Grandmother was real. How many today we have some phony baloney people out there today? I mean, they're hypocrites. They can say one thing, about an hour later they say another thing. They can do this and then they do this, like back and forth. It's like a yo-yo, just up and down. And so not only have faith in Jesus Christ alone, but it is faith that is genuine. And here we see the word in verse number 5. Go back to 2 Timothy 1:5. It says, when I call in remembrance, that's what Paul saw in Timothy, he said this, the unfeigned faith. Now, there is some words that's used in the original language would be this unfeigned would mean this, non-hypocritical. It would be undisguised. In other words, sincere. So this teaches that there must be people out there that live a very hypocritical life. Now, we're not to judge people, but listen, why do people say they do this and they do this and they do that? And you know they don't do it. Matter of fact, they know they don't do it. But how many have ran across some hypocritical people in your life? We might have been one at one time too. You know, when we say and do some things that we're not saying that we're doing, we're hypocritical. But it tells us and it shows me that there are some hypocritical, unsincere faith that can exist in a person. And this teaches that there is a difference between real saving faith and the other kind of faith. You know, you can get a head knowledge, but if it's not to the heart, it's not going to do any good. And we can work up the outside, make it look good. But if it don't get to the heart, it's got to come from the inside out, not outside in. And we've had a lot of religions that started out to save people by grace. And boy, they get, I don't know how many. Sometimes I get some missionary letters. And we're talking about thousands saved in, man, in one night, 1,500. And I'm glad for all of those that got saved. But how many of them are just coming and just praying a prayer and just ask, getting it in their head to say, see you later kind of thing? It's got to get from the heart. And so I know there's a lot of people out there that actually believe that they are saved because they've done this head thing and nothing has changed inside of their life. So there's truth in Bible. And there is such thing as false faith, deceptive faith that is not real, the kind of faith that has no evidence at all in their lives, and you can tell that it's continually leading them down the wrong path. You know what James says? Faith without works is what? Dead. You know, Judas had this kind of faith. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ. He walked with the Lord. He was among the other disciples. His faith was not real. His faith was a hypocritical faith. You know, tonight, can we make sure, just like Timothy's mom, grandmother, that there's some real, genuine faith out there? No doubt there's some real, genuine faith here at Centuria Bible Baptist Church. The souls that have been saved here, the things that you've been able to get done through Jesus Christ. And so let's continue to keep that real. Let me give you the explanation of hypocritical faith. So maybe tonight, maybe you're leading towards that direction. Maybe there's a little bit of hypocrisy in you. In Matthew chapter 23, in verse number 15, if you'll go there, Matthew 23, verse 15. Hypocrites, they were spoken by Christ. They were like actors, is what he said they were. They were stage player people. They were counterfeits. They were people who pretended to be something that they were not. They looked good on the outside. Basically, they just went through motions. But here's their description in Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 15, when it says, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye can pass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold, more the child of hell than yourselves." Go to verse number 23. He again says, now this is not my description, but this is the description that the Bible gives us of what hypocrisy, what a hypocrite would be. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like the whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and are uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Now, there probably has been a time in my life, I can remember as a teenager, that I tried to live a split life. My parents would always catch up with me and figure out what I was doing, but it was more the Holy Spirit, because I had a mom that prayed, "Lord, man, help that boy. Just help that boy. Just work on his heart." And so even though that maybe I have, I guarantee there's probably some of you too, once in your lifetime, you lived a life just like this, trying to hide this, coming to church, doing all of these things that people, you know, say that you're this great Christian and following the Lord, following the pastor. But on the inside, there was some things that were just head knowledge, concerns of just praise of man, not same in private as you are in public. And so that's what the Bible talks about. That's their description. But now I want you to notice their destiny. And this is where it really hits my heart, because there's a lot of people that don't really want to go that way, but sometimes because the devil has fooled them up and messed them up, they're actually going to split hell wide open. And they have no discernment at all, because they've never accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And so when you go back to Matthew chapter number 7, if we turn back to Matthew chapter 7, and look with me at verse number 21. You know, I don't think you understand what a pastor and a pastor's wife really go through until you be one. I always felt that as a youth pastor for 26 years, all I had to say, go talk to your preacher. Like, just go talk to the preacher. Just go talk to the preacher. But now you be one, it's like, I first had a hard time when people said, hey, pastor, you know, where's that coming from? But for 20 years, I enjoy that. But it's like now you have to deal with people. I just wish you could pastor and there was no people sometimes. But there's people. And so you have to deal with people. And can I tell you, the more people you get, the more problems you get. And I don't even know how they even come up with all the problems they got nowadays. I mean, they're problems that go so far down, rooted down, that they just have not got to the root problem, first of all. And so this, all of these things, emotions that are taking place, all they need to do is go back to the beginning and find out what started all that stuff and get rid of it. Just get rid of it. But being a pastor, you deal with so many different types of people. People, good people, they get into the church. Then also there's people. It was not too long ago that we just had a fellow in our church that just wanted to make a mess of things. I mean, just make it ugly. And he did so by attacking me, just attacking me. And then he did so by sending out letters to members in the church. And then he did so by sending out a secret video that I had no idea that he was videotaping my wife and his conversation as we were talking about him. He had it on the table, and he videotaped that, and now he sends that two-hour private conversation to church members. So what do you do with somebody like that? Here's a guy that loved God. Here's a guy that, man, just actually just was on fire for God. But now the devil got a hold of that guy. And I just wanted to try to stir up problems and stir up the church. So what do you have to do? Well, you have to go first, like the Bible says, try to get him to confess. You're wrong. You're having strife. Don't you understand what Proverbs talks about? It's wrong. Stop it. Have the men go to him. It's wrong. Stop it. Going to continue to do it. So what do you have to do now? You have to call a separate business meeting for the church and have the church to deal with it. And if you don't get it right, you have to have the church vote for somebody not to come back to church. Man, that doesn't make sense to me. We're after everybody to come to church. But here's one little culprit that gets in and starts to stir up all strife and everything. But you've got to deal with it. And what a blessing. Our church was 100% behind that thing. And so what do? We cut communication off. We don't talk to him. We pray for him that he would get right. But we have to deal with it. And can I tell you what a blessing it is to see the church body gathered around, and they were all unified with that. And I can see now, here's one person that kept doing all this kind of stuff, and you wonder why the church was not being blessed, because one person is doing all that mess in there, and it messes up everything. Sometimes you have to deal with it like cancer and cut it out and let God take care of it. But sometimes you think that there's no way that people like Guy, he's going to turn like that. I remember when Guy came to church here. There's no way. Anyone in here? Jerry, my goodness, there's no way. But I'm listen very carefully to me. The devil will get in, and he'll start trying to get your ear. And once he got your ear, you can say, man, that preacher's not doing what he really is supposed to be doing. No, he's the man of God. You never, ever go after the man of God. If you do, I guarantee you, you're going to have problems with God. God will always take care of the problem. Now, there's ways to do it. Bible tells us the way that we do it. But there's so many people today, they're so hungry for authority, and they want to be in charge, and they think they know more than the pastor, and they give them all kind of Bible verses and think they're smarter than the pastor. And it's like, whoa, where's all that coming from? Well, it's coming from hypocrisy. They're just being a hypocrite. I hate to say it, but they are. And so when you look at people today and you think about the troubles that people are having, one of the things that I have to be reminded of here is that they're not genuine. We see a description. We see, actually, we can see their destiny in chapter 7. We never read that yet, did we? You got me off target here. Look at 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Now watch. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me that work iniquity. You know how hard that is as a pastor. You work with people for 5 or 6 years, and all of a sudden, they're hypocrites. They try to stab you in the back, and they're doing things that no Christian ought to be doing whatsoever. So there is a description, but understand, there's a destiny too. Many are going to say in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't I go to church? Didn't I sing in the choir? Didn't I give some money? Didn't I teach Sunday school? Lord, I was even a deacon, a trustee. You know what he's going to say? Depart from me, for I've never knew you. Why? Because there's no honesty there. There's no, in your life, being genuine. And it's all just been fake. And if you notice in verse 22, he says, many. The Bible does say, straight, there's few. Broad the way, there's many. And in these last days, it seems like everybody is coming up with a bunch of different ideas on what needs to be happening in churches, salvation, and everything. So the explanation now of genuine faith, this kind of faith is result in action. You're going to now do something that's correct. James, it's a great book to read. Real faith, it produces action. We are saved by faith alone, but not the kind of faith that is alone. You know, I just took off, went to Oklahoma City, and got on a plane, went down to Heartland Baptist Bible College. Now, I can have faith that the plane's going to take me there, and I can have faith that I'm saved, but listen, there's action that has to take place. I'm going to put my faith in that plane, and I'm going to get in that thing, and I'm going to let it take me where it needs to take me. And that's where Timothy's faith was. It was real. Where did he get it from? He got it from his mom. She got it from grandmother. And so he saw that it wasn't a game. They really believed in Christ to save them. They were not playing church. They were not just going through the motions. Timothy saw what real faith was. And sometimes we have a tendency to get our focus on people in the church. And sometimes they do get us bent out of shape. But in this case, his mom was doing right, his grandma was doing right, and he believed that's the way to go. But again, we've got to keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, or we can also fall too. But in chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15, we read that, but it talks about how from a childhood, he had known the scriptures. In other words, the word childhood, it means that very small, in the very beginning, his mom read him scripture. Grandma read her scripture, so read scripture, kept that, and so taught him from the Bible when he was very little. You cannot hide something if it's real. There's faith that was real in Timothy, and Timothy saw it in his mom, and we need to continue. Parents, listen, if you tell your kids to do something and you're not doing it, that's not real faith, and we have a tendency sometimes to let our kids follow us, and our kids, they look at us, I want to be like daddy, I want to be like mommy, but if we got to work at our genuine, our real faith also. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 3:5 that we are to examine ourselves and make sure that we have the faith that we need to have. You know, lastly tonight is this faith must be passed down. So not only should this faith be personal in Jesus Christ alone. It's got to be genuine. What you see is what you get. No fakes, no phony. Now listen, none of us are perfect. Somebody say amen to that. And that word perfect is you are maturing. It's not that you're we're not going to be perfect till we get to heaven.
Amen.
But we are to mature. And all of us are at different places in our life. We're maturing. We're maturing. Some get strong head than others and get rebellious, and then you got to start over again. But it's like we are maturing. And then we have to then pass that on to the next generation. If we're rebellious and we're not able to be genuine and we're not trusted in Christ alone, we're not going to pass it on to anybody. And so in verse 5 again, back in our text in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, says, Paul said, Timothy, I remember. He said, Timothy, I saw that unfeigned faith that you have. But look what he says. That is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And this is what he said. And I am persuaded that's in thee also. Another, I'm persuaded that you too are going to pass this on. Isn't it a blessing when you get that kind of faith that you want to tell everybody everywhere about this gospel? But if you're not real about it, you have a hard time telling anybody about it. And tonight, we need to understand, if revival's going to start, this is anniversary kind of revival week, Lord, do something greater than you did just yesterday. Help me, Lord, to be the right kind of example, the one that's going to pass this faith down to a next generation and live it. And God blesses genuine faith, and that influence goes a very long way. There's nothing more important than to leave a legacy of faith. And you see in chapter 3, Timothy, he was taught from Scripture. And it's interesting there, but when you study that a little bit more, you can see in Acts chapter 16, verse 1, you don't need to turn there, but it indicates that his father was not even a believer. You know what's a blessing? It's to see children come that don't have a good home, one saved, not saved, and now they come and, man, they just turn it on and they just do something great. Now, my wife, they knocked on her door and they wanted her to ride a bus. And it was a bus that was painted watermelon. And so they called it Wide Wally Watermelon. And so she got on that bus and she went to a church to preach the gospel just like we're preaching. She got saved as a teenager. What a blessing. She was able then to see her mom and dad get saved. She was able to see her aunts and uncles get saved. And she grew up being the church pianist there at that church. Why? Because someone cared about her. Her dad was retired Navy in the Navy and just not going to church and drinking a lot and all this kind of stuff. But here's somebody would reach out to a bus kid and say, hey, come to church, come to church. Parents weren't doing anything, but then it turned that all the way around. And now, praise God, Papa, he's in heaven. Nana, you met her mom, helps us there at the church. And what a blessing. It just took one person that cared enough. So tonight, taking your kids to church, it's a good thing, but it's not enough. Teaching them the Bible, that it's a good thing, it's not enough. Teaching them to stay away from sin, it's not enough. Your faith in Christ, it must be real, and you must have a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Allow that faith to be lived out in you, that it's genuine, and then you can pass it on to the next generation. If you just say, kids, get up and go to church, and you're not even concerned about it, how far is that going to go? No, be genuine. Be genuine about it. You know, and when you look at influences now tonight, who has had a big influence in your life? Where's it at? If someone wanted to quote something that your mom said or somebody else had said about the influence of your life, what would it be like? Thomas Edison, he was a famous inventor. He wrote this: I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence that lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training, I can never lose. My mother was making me, me. Charles Spurgeon, perhaps one of the greatest preachers that we know that has lived, he said, I cannot tell you how much I owe to a solemn words and prayers of my mother. Dwight L. Moody, also a great evangelist in the century. All that I have ever accomplished in life, I owe to my mom. You know, we even have a statue, the Statue of Liberty, and it was painted by a fellow by the name of Auguste, and he's a sculptor that painted his own mother. That's his mother. Boy, he thought a lot of his mom. And when you go back and you think today, thank the Lord for moms and what they've given to us. And here's we start looking at Hannah. Hannah just wanted to pray, Lord, help me to be the example. Help me to have a true love in you, a genuine love in you. That Lord, not only that, I want to pass it down, because this generation right now, when you get to the book of Judges, at the end of Judges, every man's done everything right in his own eyes, and you got the priest, Eli. He's got his own sons, having a bunch of mess out there in the foyer of the church and dancing and calling themselves godly people and all that. We're talking about godly people that have been placed to be preachers in lives, and now their sons are getting away with everything. And here's a Mama Hannah. She had a personal relationship with Christ, him only, genuine love for him. She wanted to pass it on to the next generation. So she said, Lord, give me a son, Lord, that I may be able to give him back to you, and you allow him now to get a next generation to move on forward. You know, when I think about my life, my mom has impacted me. My dad was basically a schizophrenic. He actually had shock treatments. And my mom stayed faithful. She wanted to make sure that we were in church. She prayed for me. She made sure that we were in church. Praise God. God worked all that out. My dad's fine today. He helps us with our senior saints people. But just think, if it was not for a mother that had a personal relationship in Christ only, being genuine about it, and she said, man, I need to pass this on. And she was able to pass that down. We had our teens today. I asked them, what are you thankful for? What would something be in your life? And one young gal said, morality. That's what my mom taught me, is be moral. Another one said, I like it when my mom talks to me at night, have these special times at night that we talk. Another one said, man, my mom talks to me about the right kind of music that I need to listen to. One said, hard work. Thank the Lord for hard work that they've taught. Another, reading Bible stories, school. And so not only now we can put it down in where we're at now, kids are listening, and kids want what's real, what's genuine, so they too can pass it on. So today, I think we need to thank God for our mom, those that have had an impact in our lives, and make sure that we thank those for it. Remember, too, you've got a great pastor's wife that's leading you. Thank the Lord for past, but past is past. This is present. You're moving forward, and the transition that took place is marvelous, exciting. And just think that our church had a small part in seeing the new beginnings of this, and only heaven can tell. So thank those that's had a big influence in your life, and never take them for granted. You might be here tonight, and maybe you're not saved. You might be here tonight, and you're struggling with having a real, personal desire to trust Christ only, with nothing else. Maybe tonight you're just a hypocrite. Maybe in this way, or maybe just in this way. You know, just a little piece of that can mess you up. I notice one of our men would always say, I'm going to cook you up some brownies, and if I just put a little bit of dog doo-doo in it, it's going to mess it up. You're not going to eat it. Just a little bit. Why do we allow just a little bit of that sin to come into our lives? It's no good. We won't even go near it. But we're living in a day, because he does it, she does it, all this attitude stuff. We just don't even realize what we're doing. I pray God would help us this week to leave this week to be stronger than we ever have been, get our eyes focused. There's still one more soul that needs to be saved, one more home that needs to be put back together, and we need to pass it on to this next generation. Would you mind standing with your heads bowed tonight? Lord Jesus Christ, it's such a blessing to be with folks that love you. Lord, thank you for the fixes, Lord, for just taking them, allowing them to come to this place and be trained, and Lord, take over the reins of the church here. Pray the church can, Lord, just get 100% behind them and followers. It's nothing like having friction and having problems to deal with when there's souls out there that need to be saved. So, Lord, I pray that if there's any of that going on, Lord, just ask them, people, they need to forgive and, And Lord, don't allow that to creep into their life. And so, Lord, take this week, you know, with your head still bowed as the organ plays, and we're going to sing a song and turn it over to your preacher. Let me ask you a question tonight. How many of you can say, Pastor Rick, I am saved. I know 100% that if I were to die, I would go to heaven. How many can testify by raising your hand? Just hold it up. I am 100% sure I'm saved and going to heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Church, I can honestly say you got 100%. Even the boys and girls here, they're saved. Well, that's a blessing. So tonight, then, the question would be, it's not that I'm saved, but are you putting your faith and trust in Christ only? And then the other question tonight, are you genuine? And then the other question, this is where Paul saw Timothy, are you passing this down now to the next generation? I'm going to say, Pastor Rick, you know, there's some areas that I need to work on in my life. Would you pray for me? Would you hold up your hand and say, Pastor, that's me? Amen. 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 Listen, I want to give you a time. I'm going to pray. They're playing. Would you just take a step and maybe in your seat or come to the altar? And let's give this week to the Lord. We don't have time to waste. People are dying. People are crying. They want help. And we're fighting one another, doing what we want to do. We're messing up what Jesus called us here to do. So let me encourage you. Take that one step. Watch Christ do a miraculous thing in your life. I'm going to pray. We won't sing. They'll play. But I'm going to pray. And as soon as I pray, those that raise their hand, would you come to the altar and just ask God to do a miraculous work in your heart this week? Lord Jesus, we thank you. We beg you. We plead with you, Lord. Help us. Help us, Lord, to endeavor to be true to you only. To, Lord, to live a genuine Christian life. And then, Lord, pass it down to the next generation. In Christ's name. With your heads bowed, if God spoke to your heart, you need to